All right, everybody, welcome to the July 2024 meeting of the Fauldron County Quorum Court. Want to welcome everybody. Please stand if you would. Justice Todd Lahosky will lead us in prayer and pledge.
Thank you. Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. Please watch over us, our citizenry. Keep an eye on this nation as we move forward down an easy path. Be with us all in the decisions we make. Give us clarity of mind in what we do. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Please be seated. And Madam Secretary, if you would call the roll, please.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Nye.
Here.
What? Here.
Nye.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Roberts.
Here.
Jobs.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here. All right, that's 12, so that is a quorum. We note that Justice Grady couldn't be here tonight. It was something that she had given us a heads up. She would not be able to make it. We'll look forward to seeing her next month. All right, members of the court, in your packet, you've got a copy of the June Journal. Hopefully you've had a chance to review that. And I'll entertain a motion to accept.
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Motion second, and that was Justice Kendrick, and who was the second?
Schopp.
Justice Schopp. All right, members, are there any additions or deletions?
Maybe I'm reading the minutes wrong. Should that be June 18th instead of May 21st?
Should. By the way, that's tab number one. I'm going to verify the date. Did you verify the date? It would be the 18th, June 18th.
Yeah.
Any other additions or deletions? All right, Justice Lyon, I'll consider that to be a motion to amend.
I'm sorry.
And do we have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor of changing that date to the actual date the meeting was held, which was June 18th, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so that will be amended. Any other additions or deletions? Changes? Hearing none, in favor of approving the journal as amended, presented and amended, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the journal is approved. Thank you. Next, we have tab number two in your binder, members of the court, and this is county officers' reports. And we'll have several. County clerk's report is should be in your packet, and as always, and next we'll have the treasurer's report.
So I have a bet some of you guys. My name is Jennifer Massey, and I'm the chief deputy treasurer, and in your binder is your reports. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any of those for you.
Jennifer Mass.
Is it on? So, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer any of those for you, or I can get a spot and
all right, any questions on the treasurer's report? Just on the inflation watch, I'm sure most of you, if you follow it, you saw the Fed's pretty favorable. And I see Justice Roberts in the real estate business. She follows that, I'm sure, very closely, but pretty favorable report with the economy cooling off a little bit, and I think the guidance they gave, at least on interest rates, that they I would say expect to do one or two interest rate decreases this year. You know how the Fed is. I would just take that as some general guidance. And I'll just note, if you look at our general revenue and sales tax revenue, those, I am not the treasurer, but you can look at the first chart you see, and you'll see for the June numbers, if you look really close, the red line would be the most current numbers for this year, and you'll see that they are in line with the previous year numbers, so that's good for county general. Looking at sales tax, I'll hold my comments and refer to our treasurer on that. But if you look back to the sales tax revenue chart, this is something that I pay a lot of attention to. I'd invite you as well on our sales tax revenue. That's really the two numbers I personally watch and take a great deal of interest in. But you can see 3-month average dipped below last month and trended back toward the mean, or at least the 1-year average. So I think that's positive. Are there any questions or comments for Chief Deputy Treasurer Jennifer Massey? Thank you for that. Do we have a sheriff's report today? I see Chief Woolley.
Good
evening, Chief.
All right. For June, starting detention, our average headcount unit 1 was 189. At unit 2 in our male side, it was 192. Our female capacity was 87, and our juvenile was 12. We had 460 intakes and 443 releases, averaging about 62 ADCMs being housed. For patrol, 2,405 total number of all calls to dispatch, 1,861 to FCSO alone. Number of violent crimes and domestics was 83, thefts, criminal mischief was 67, 68 animal calls, with seven animal citations and one warning written. Our reserve unit put in just shy of 750 hours last month. Our criminal investigation division, they were assigned 46 cases and they closed 21. And for our transport division, at 71 total trips, and you can see the mileage and the cost there. That's all I've got, unless you have some questions for me.
Any questions for the chief?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, chief. All right, next, let's have ARP and road administration report.
Thank you, Your Honor. Members of the court, if you'll turn to page 4. Emergency communications, if you remember, that's for the volunteer fire departments. We haven't had any expenses since the last report. However, we are starting to hand those radios out. It started, I think, last week, if I remember correctly. So that should be proceeding rather quickly in the next few months. Next page, if you will go to page 6. The Valami Emergency Pump Station. That is all but complete. They have everything finished except the demolition, and they're waiting to test the new system for a few weeks before they are willing to tear down the old one. They want to make sure everything's working well before they demolish the old one. They anticipate the end of this month or the first of next to be complete on that. Page 7. CAPCA, Community Action Program for Central Arkansas. That was asked about last month. We got our first expenditure request from them during the period since last quorum court. We expect to see several requests coming in the near future on that. You'll notice at the bottom of page 7, United Ways, there's 16 cents left. Essentially, that program is complete. We'll clean up the bookkeeping. We've asked them if they want the 16 cents. If not, we'll square it up later this year. That brings me to our plan to make sure we have everything obligated and spent. As I mentioned before, we reached out to all of the people that have had money appropriated and asked them for their plan on how they're going to expend the rest of the money in a time frame with which they plan to do that. We've received fairly good response. We've had to reach out to a couple, and we're waiting on a couple more. Once we get them all in, we plan to meet with them. After I have that wrapped up, plan to get with Justice Lahosky and Randy and develop a plan moving forward so that we can make sure we have a good feeling about executing all the money that we have. My biggest concern would be right now Mayflower. They're still trying to finalize the direction they're going. I got word today from the judge through the mayor that they are going to maintain their own sewer system. However, they're going to connect and ship all of their affluent to Conway Corp. And so the money that they have appropriated is going to be used for that. Hopefully we'll be seeing a plan on that soon. And then CAA, we're still waiting. That was asked about, I think Justice Pearson asked a few months ago about that. We're still waiting on some paperwork from them in the way of audits and annual tax returns. Once we get that, then we should start talking to them about their expense requests. We're still waiting on that, however. Your Honor, subject to questions, that concludes my ARP report.
Thank you, Administrator Anderson. Any questions, ARP questions?
Yeah, I have a question, but is there a report on the courthouse building?
I would defer to Justice Higgins. He's running that operation.
Gotcha. Appreciate it.
Anybody else?
Road report?
If you look on the road report, the activity you have for you there is chip seal roads, and basically we're trying to shore up the damage that was done during the winter weather. We've done 4.8 miles of that. We're constantly from here on to the rest of the summer be working on chip seal roads. We have a new process we are currently about a week into. It's called Cape Seal. It's a pavement preservation treatment, and it's a two-phase process. The first phase, and we're doing these on roads that are 7-8 years old in the average, and we have a contract that we let, a company from Kansas City got the contract. They've worked in Pulaski County for the last several years doing the same thing. And in fact, they moved from Pulaski County to us last week. So the first phase, they go through and they put an oil-based emulsion down. They spray it on the road. The idea is that goes into cracks, seals those cracks. They come right behind it with small chips, a lot smaller than what we chip seal with, to hold that oil on the surface and protect it from getting soaked up from oncoming traffic. 5 to 15 days later, they come back and they put the microsurface, which is about a quarter inch of an asphalt emulsion, and that does the final seal, and it looks just like asphalt. You probably won't be able to tell the difference once it cures. Right now, they just started on Elliott for that process. On the first process, we have Naval Road and Otto Road left. And when those are complete, we will have had 5 roads, Elliott, Lower Ridge, Sunny Gap, Naylor, and Otto, about 24 miles of this. So this is the first time that we tried this process. The idea is it will extend the life of the road and the good half of the life about 8 to 10 years. And that will save us an overrun, basically. Any questions on the road report? I do have one other item after there's no more questions.
Just one.
My monthly.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't ask.
Do I? Yeah, just any update on the RDOT projects around the county?
The biggest one that we're still waiting on is the intersection.
Elliott or Scott Hollow?
No, it's Rooster Road. No, not Rooster. Scott Hollow.
Scott Hollow in 2-6, okay.
Yeah, and that's still with the highway department and their engineering department. We're still waiting on word from them. They tell us it should be any time, but they told us that for a while. Also, that turning lane that we had at Elliott in 25, we just got our first request for our portion of the payment on the engineering for that. So that's going. It's just going to be a little while before that gets through.
And then the second question, this might be more for the judge. Have we heard anything back on the 319 swap?
Not yet, and that's really good. That's the economic development project just over the county line. In the first ever RDOT involvement in an economic development project of gigantic scale. That's about all I'll say about that. It's not my place to be talking about that project on that end, but the county's in the footprint that is affected. We're, of course, as Justice Lang referred to, asked to take some of the burden off of RDOT, which is going to have some state highway relocation burden. And so the county's in the footprint. We've immediately considered the economic impact on our county, the return on what we would do, which is take in about a little over five miles of State Highway 310, which is in our county, and really more of a county road anyway in terms of volume and usage. And we didn't have anything that really scared us in terms of typical usage of that highway, unlike, for example, the highway, I may not even know it's a state highway, but to a large sand company over by Cadron Settlement, that one would give us pause to take in just because of really high volume anyway. So, but anyway, nothing further on that project yet, and I think that really is in the, you know, private enterprise's hands, and we don't have any direct dealings with them. But and I think that is of such scale that may not be a quick thing. It's a really, really strategic move for a very large company. And so they tend to be years early before they make that sort of investment themselves. Good question. I would also add that the Worcester Roundabout, we were given more than tentative guidance that from RDOT, that project, I believe we have found a funding sweet spot in with all the interested parties. I would hesitate to say the ink is dry on that yet, but became much more likely in the last, I'd say, 4 to 6 weeks or so. So any of you travel Greenbrier on 65, well know, just the current traffic on 65. When you look ahead strategically, the roundabout in Worcester's needed today. It's going to really be needed more in the future. I'd invite you to take a Sunday drive anywhere out and among the countryside, anywhere in our county. You're going to see a lot of real estate movement with your West Rocks and your other economic growth and growth in the number of jobs in West Rock alone. They ultimately talk 800 jobs. Those people have got to live somewhere, and the bulk of them live here. And so you're going to continue to see growth. And we try to do everything we can with the judge's administration to drive healthy growth, fair growth, the growth that protects the county. And whether that be intersection improvements or our own internal improvements with our county road system, things like the Cape Seal project, I cannot emphasize enough, you heard me talk about it last month, but I cannot emphasize enough how excited we are in the judge's administration road department with that addition to our toolkit. And I'll tell you, like I've been telling the, Tom said it, but the way I've been telling the people in the affected area, because nobody wants the road construction to be in front of their house or on their way to work, it's just human nature. But we do all want good roads, and we want a road system that is adequate, and we take it very seriously. And our approach with the Cape Seal program is to always keep our major arterials in the best half of their life. Once a road gets to a certain point in degradation, you're really just left with patching potholes until it gets better on the whole. I mean, it gets bad enough on the whole to justify spending a complete rebuild with asphalt on top of that. Really takes a lot of time to undercut a road, dig out and fix areas that are really bad, and where the base lets go and starts moving down Nemo Road. Was one of them that got hit really hard in the freeze. We had a crew up there for at least 6 weeks, it may have been eight, digging 2 feet down to remove it. Turns out that road did not have an adequate base. It never did. The old timey road that just kind of gradually was nursed along. Thing must be 5 miles long. We're about ready to chip seal the areas we dug out. But we don't ever want our Elliott, as Tom said, our Lower Ridge, the county portion of Lower Ridge, is probably most of Lower Ridge, Sunny Gap and a portion of Pickles Gap, Naylor Road, Otto Road, are the roads we targeted this year. And we will continue to test for, I would say now, for probably 2 more years. And then look back in a couple of years to see how Elliott, Naylor, Otto, Lower Ridge, Sunny Gap, Pickles Gap, how that aged out. Is our expectation of the tape seal going to work? And so it's a kind of a landmark time in the road department, adding a brand new tool to our toolkit. Reason I go into that detail is because you may get calls from folks, particularly if they had an asphalt road and then they see what looks like a chip seal there for 2 or 3 days, and really it's not very pretty because it's going to be underneath, honestly. And so if you go on one of those roads, like this evening, you can go over Elliott Road, or you can go over Sunny Gap, Pickles Gap, or Lower Ridge, and you'll see that first stage. I'd invite you to do that, you members of the public, and certainly members of the court. Drive over that and look at that so you can internalize that. And if you have calls, you can really speak to it. Say, hey, that's just the underlayment. It's got a cure for 5 days, plus or minus a day or two. And then there will be a microsurface applied over the top, mulching. It's got some rock in it. It's got some Portland, I think, in it. And even importantly, it's got a polymer in it that makes it super, super hard, which I liken to a like powder coating metal. You know, it doesn't give the metal any more strength. Boy, it gives it a really abrasive resistant surface. So we would ask for their patience. And then a dose of reality is that, look, it's still, you know, this is a lot less hassle than when we have to rebuild and resurface a road with asphalt from square one, or a significant part of a road. So you'll see that out and about in your districts, and look for us to continue that next year and then the year after. But we're really excited about it, and I hope you find it interesting to go look at it. Any other questions for Tom or me on the road report? Tom, you have one more item?
I do, Your Honor. I'd like to formally introduce the court and the public to our road foreman. His name is Lance Reynolds. He took over from Mark Ledbetter, you may remember, the first of the year. And if you would remember when we came in for the reorganization, and we had one guy on top of about 41 guys, one guy on top is Lance. So we got him a little relief from that perspective. He's doing a fine job. He grew up here in our county in Needs Creek area. He went to Greenbrier High School and graduated from high school there. He's got a wife and 2 kids, and they live in Mount Vernon. Lance has been with the county for about 13 and a half years in the road department, 2 different stints. He came back to us, I believe it was in 2015 this time. He's been with us ever since. He's doing a fine job, and if you see him out and about, you know who it is now, and I just want to formally introduce you. Lance, you want to say anything?
Well, you have to let me know.
Tom, I'd like to add also, I'm really proud of Lance. You know, we talked about the reorg out at the road shop, where we added a layer of supervisors for segregating some duties that are out there. It's a really big operation that you may not see much of individually, but it's a big county with lots of roads. Obviously, you guys set the budget. You see the financial impact and the financial responsibility. And honestly, you can look at Tom Anderson and Lance Reynolds, and they are the ones that make that happen. If you want to know what responsibility it is, gosh, I mean, just look at the face Blanche Reynolds and really Tom Anderson. And I can't tell you really the load that they carry. So anyway, I appreciate the both of you.
That's all I have here.
Thank you. County Administrator Randy Higgins with his update.
Thank you, Your Honor. You know, before I go with my report, I just want to respond to Justice Tyler's question about the courthouse. And I know sometimes there's some confusion about who's responsible for what in the judge's office, and we try to make it as easy as you possibly can. Typically, Tom is handling all things ARP and all things roads. That makes it easy. And so that means that I get to handle everything else. But sometimes the everything else category falls into, even though Tom is fiscally responsible for things like animal shelter in the courthouse, I'm the project manager for both of those. So I will be dealing with the day-to-day operations. Tom is responsible for the money part of it. So what that means is, if you have a question, you can ask either one of us. I couldn't ask for a better partner to work with than Tom. We're in each other's office several times almost every day. So Tom deals with primarily roads and ARP. I'm responsible for everything else. Now, here's one thing that I've learned about. If I can take in everything else and move it out into the road, it becomes a road problem. So we work together on that. First topic, I'm going to talk about animal shelter update. I was there Friday, met with the contractor. We're up on time for it. The parking lot, which is a big part, will be scheduled to be worked on and completed in mid-August. We're still on track to be finished late September, early October. That's been the target date that we've had. But I've had a number of people like, all right, we're going to open up October the 1st. And that's not really true, and so I've kind of had to change my narrative a little bit. That means the construction will be finished. So the judge and I and the sheriff and Chief Deputy Woolley had the opportunity to meet the new director of the animal shelter that the coalition has hired. We met him last week, had an introductory meeting, and then had a follow-up meeting in more detail to talk about animal shelter operations and how we're going to do things, coordination with the sheriff's office. I thought it was a very productive meeting, so we're moving forward with that. But you think about it, when we're finished in early October, there's still a ramp-up time. There's still operations. There's still tables and chairs and things like that that had to move in. You know, if I had to give an estimated date at this point, estimated date, probably still talking around Thanksgiving-ish. But as we move forward with this, we'll get closer on that date and get it in there. I'm comfortable saying, yeah, we'll be up and operating by the first of the year at this point. So just kind of give you something that if people ask you, that's what we're looking at. But yeah, October 1st, probably not. We will be through with construction by then. Extension office, voting machine storage, the remodel. We've started in that area. We're moving some things around to make it more roomy for the extension office, but at the same time, making it where it works better and flows better for the voting machines. They have to be secure. We have to let our voters know that we have a secure voting process here in Faulkner County, that our machines are secure and all that. And where we were, it was all there. We're kind of taking a blanket and cutting off 6 inches off the top and sewing it onto the bottom. So we still have the same square footage, but we're just moving it around to make it more efficient. So that project is about a 2-3 week project. We're about halfway through with that. We had our first meeting last week, a voluntary tax collaboration meeting. And that's where the judge's office sponsored a meeting of all of those organizations that receive voluntary tax. And so we've been tracking the numbers, and the voluntary tax numbers are down. The contributions are down. There's a number of reasons for that. But on one hand, when we talk about the growth in Faulkner County, that we're the third fastest growing county in the state. Conway is fast growing. And so if each of these entities are all receiving 1 mil, except the animal shelter, which receives 1.5 mil, you would think that just by the fact that they receive a mil, as the population grows, that mil would grow with it. And that's not necessarily the case. So one of the reasons is we have a lot of new people moving into the area that are coming from areas that don't have voluntary taxes and are not familiar with it and probably are not checking the box. So instead of having the 5 organizations work out their own marketing plan or whatever, we reached out to them to see was there an interest in them working collaboratively and having a marketing plan that would help inform people, educate people about the valuable services that all five of those provide, and could they work together? So, good meeting that we had on the first one. They started asking me a whole lot of questions that I did not have the answer to. And so, the second meeting's following up next week. We're inviting the treasurer, the assessor, and the collector, so that they can, and the county attorney, so they can answer some legal questions on that. So, just kind of giving you an update that that's moving forward. I was excited about that meeting. The Justice Building Security System upgrade that was damaged in the storm. You guys appropriated some money until the insurance was paid off. Then we could get that project finished. We're about 99% complete. We've got a few little loose end bugs that we're working on, and then final end-user training on that system. But it is up and operational at this point, and probably we'll be through with it in the next week or 10 days. The county firefighter radio distribution, Tom mentioned that. All of the handhelds came in week before last. We had to do a detailed inventory of those, and then we're doing an inventory transfer sheet because these radios will not be county property. We will transfer those over actually to the fire department, and it will be their property. As of this afternoon, I was out at OEM. All the fire departments have received their handheld radios except these Twin Groves, and they're scheduled to pick theirs up tomorrow or the next day. And then the next phase of this will actually be to do the installation of the mobile radios into the apparatus, the fire trucks and those. So we're almost finished with that project, and they seem to be excited. Also, we have some funding, a little bit of funding that's left over that is all going to allow us to do some upgrades to a couple repeaters. Batteries are at the extent of their life, so we're going to buy some batteries. There's one tower that has a little wind damage. We're going to go ahead and get that fixed under this project. So that when we turn this completely over to the firefighters, they've got a good operating system, and everybody seems to be excited about that. 911 PSAP board. I don't know if we've talked to you guys about that much, but we have formalized the board for the 911 PSAP board. We've shifted it around a little bit. The members of the board are the Conway Fire Chief, Chief Winters, the Conway Fire Police Chief. Why did his name just slip my mind?
Chris Harris.
Yeah, sorry. Chris Harris. Also, Sheriff Riles is on the committee. Keith Hillman will represent OEM and the volunteer firefighters. And then I've been designated to represent the county judge's office on that committee. We've met a couple times so that we can organize. And then today, we spent 4 or 5 hours at the PD interviewing director candidates for the 911 PSAP. So we're getting that squared away so we can get that director on board, and then we can start our reorganization process with that. So I'm excited about that. Some really, really good candidates came in, several from out of state that we Zoom interviewed, and some local ones as well. We'll be meeting once again to finalize the candidate that we choose on that. And once we have confirmed that, we'll get the county judge and the mayor of Conway's final approval, and then we'll move forward. Last but not least, the courthouse update. We have finalized the contract, executed contract with Sal Engineers. They know what we're looking for. We've met several times about what we're looking for, the facelift on this. They estimate that they'll work up their proposal. They're getting contractor information, bids on this, so that we have something to put out for bid, because it's going to be over the $20,000 price. We have to bid it out. Have that ready late October. I actually did an addendum to the contract saying no later than November the 1st, where we're going to put that out. Take about 2 weeks to put it out for bid. So by Thanksgiving, we should have approved bids, which we anticipate will satisfy our ARP requirements so that we can start on the courthouse shortly after that. I covered a lot of ground in a hurry. Any questions for me?
Mr. Higgins,
yes.
Are there any updates on the time clock system that was purchased a couple months ago?
Yes, that's a good question. And the reason it wasn't on my list is as we have approved that. So it went out for bid. We received a couple of bidders on it. We actually went with the vendor that we initially talked with. We've finalized the contract. And so they are actually working with Margaret's office and with Angie at the sheriff's office. They will now be the point of contact for that. I told the vendor that you don't need me unless something goes wrong, and I'm not anticipating hearing anything. But they'll start working on the plan for it through the rest of this year, and our goal is early into next year that we'll start implementing that. So fair warning, we haven't asked for any money. We did our resolution to say you guys agree to go this direction. We'll probably include the funding for that in the 2025 budget. Okay, very good. Any other questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. A lot happening, if that's an understatement. I would have to say that's an understatement for sure. You know, as you can tell, Randy is a pretty competent guy. He keeps it all under control. And if you step into his office, you'll see a giant whiteboard that's full of black ink. So appreciate all you do. Yeah. Company. All right. Next, we have standing committee reports, and I generally start over here. I think I'll start over to your right. Personnel Committee, Justice Chris Kendrick.
Judge, Personnel Committee did not meet this month. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, Budget and Finance, Justice Tyler Lewowski.
Judge, we met last week, and we've got three ordinances on the agenda tonight.
Thank you. Next, Courts and Public Safety, Justice Mary Coates.
Yes, Judge, Courts and Public Safety did not meet this last month.
Okay, and last but not least, Infrastructure Committee, Justice Justin Wright. That's a tough one.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, Infrastructure did not meet this month.
All right, thank you. Next, we move to public comments. Those of you new here, we have a period where you're entitled to direct public comment on anything of any business before the court. Anybody have any comments? Seeing none, next item on the agenda is special reports. Are there any special reports? Actually, we have a library report. I'll draw your attention to our library system director, John McGraw.
I don't really have a report. I could freestyle for a second, though. Last night, we opened up our guide public library. About 82 people showed up. Everybody but the fire marshal, thank goodness. Pretty crowded in there. It's the back of an old Silas Owens Church of Christ in Guy, and it's very warmly received by the community so far. The mayor's looking at turning the front half of the church into a community center, and we're very excited to be partnering with the city of Guy to bring more services out to that part of the area. Especially the schools that really need more intervention than they've been getting, and we're excited to be working on that. And it's summer, and the libraries are packed. June, we had 38,000 visitors, 32,000 of those in Conway. We did a lot of programs for adults, programs for kids, programs for teens. We had attendance in June of about 9,900 people, and July is going to be as busy or more busy than that. It's going great.
Thank you, Mr. McGraw. Are there any questions for our library system director? Thank you for that. And the Guy Library is nice. I would invite you all to just stop in up there. Really, really well done in terms of just the facility, but just to see those people. There was so much excitement. There were kids everywhere. Really well done. I know they're proud of you. You're proud. Moving right along, any other special reports?
Sorry. I have one quick report. A couple months ago, I actually did a tour of the PSAP with Keith. And if you haven't done that, I would highly recommend taking some time and go out there looking at that. Look how, I mean, it's a compound. It's built to withstand like a F5 tornado. And you can see how Fauquier County is going to be really easily integrated with Conway. And so we probably have an advantage over a lot of counties and cities. So take the time to do that. It was very educational.
Thank you. Yes, I think it is. Man, what a hard facility. Former Sheriff Schock, just Schock could talk about that. But that is really an impressive facility. And that's you know, I'm taking you say Keith, but you're talking about William Director Keith Illman. All right. And it is. It's something to see. It's the people in Fauquier County and City of Conway, actually, City owns it. But wonderful facility. Any other special reports? Moving right along on our agenda, old business. Seeing none, unless anybody has something that's not on the agenda. Moving right along to new business, tab number 3, Justice's proposed ordinance 24-24, it's appropriation ordinance. And it says circuit clerk. I'm not sure who's sponsoring that.
First, Judge Dodson, just make note of the property disposal, the truck before tab three. Just make sure Justice is seeing or aware of that. Just by statute, we're providing notice.
Thank you. We've got to provide notice. And I think some of that was old electronics. I don't recall what the other one was, but it's there in your packet. And it's a structured process for the county property that is junk and of no value, I think, is the way the statute's listed. That has to be reported to the court, of course. We just draw it to your attention. Thank you for that, Counselor. And now, tab number three, proposed ordinance 24-24, sponsored by the Finance Committee, Justice Mahosky.
Judge, I make a motion for the approval of proposed ordinance 24-24.
Second. And the second was Justice Moss. Okay, can we have a reading, Counselor?
Proposed ordinance 24-24, sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee, be enacted by the Coleman Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, in order to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 23-36, dated November 21st, 2023, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, so we've got a motion and a second, and we've had the reading. Any discussion?
I'll just give a little history, Judge, on this one. We heard this, well, I don't know when it started, but personnel heard this ordinance at some point in time. Then it came to Budget and Finance. We talked about it in Budget and Finance. It was tabled with a larger group of ordinances. I don't remember how many, I believe. The month later, which would have been in June, we brought it back up off the table in Budget and Finance and passed it on to the court for a hearing tonight.
Thank you for the explanation. Any questions or comments?
Well, Judge, can I just clarify? Looking at the ordinance, first off, I think the dates are wrong. We have June's noted on there. Should that all be July? And then section three, it notes effective June 1, 2024. Are we, if this were approved, are we backdating?
Well, that's the ordinance that's before you. Certainly you could make amendment to that.
Well, I guess
it's not an ordinance that I sponsor.
Just as long as I can, and obviously Mr. Starter here, but my guess is that when the ordinance was created, it was created under the idea that it would be, the previous month, and there was never a formal motion to amend or change it. So what I would suggest then is just changing the approved by Coleman Court from June 16th to July 16th, obviously the dates. And then as far as the payroll, I think that would just be in the following month. So instead of June, that would be August 1st. But Teresa, you might correct me if that messes something up. Yeah, there you go.
Ms. Easton, what would you prefer on this? You good with August 1st?
I'm good with August 1st. Okay.
July 27th needs to be the date.
So, Mr. Attorney, then can I go ahead and create a motion then?
Yes, sir.
To amend ordinance 24-24 to the section 3 to beginning July 27th?
Yes.
Second.
and also the dated at the bottom below, approved by the Quorum Court on July 16th, rather than June 16th. And then change June to July at the very bottom below the signatures.
Second.
Justice Kendrick?
Yes.
All right, so motion Justice Lyon, second Justice Kendrick to make those amendments as he just detailed. All right, any discussion on that motion and second to amend those dates? Seeing none, I believe a roll call votes, a voice vote is final on this, Counselor. All right, seeing no questions, all in favor of making these amendments to the ordinance that is presented. Again, this is not voting on the substance of the ordinance. It's just make the changes on what you will then be discussing. All in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the ordinance in front of you will be amended to have those dates corrected. And now we're back to the original motion discussing the ordinance now as amended.
Well, I guess you're going to speak about it.
Well, I was just going to say that I reached out to each of you last week and to explain what it was about, and then I emailed you an organization chart and a salary survey. If you didn't get it, I have copies here with me, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
I guess I was wondering if you would explain it for the sake of our audience.
Oh, sure. So the request that I have is for the real estate supervisor position, which is Deputy Clerk 3. This position does not come out of County General at all. This position has allowed us to have additional space over in our records building so that we can house the Veterans Office. It's much like the one you approved for the road department. It's a management position. This position oversees three full-time employees and one part-time employee. And as Faulkner County continues to grow, you know, I feel like we need that change in our office to handle the growth. And then again, there's no money coming out of County General. Okay. Good?
Thank you.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you for that. Our circuit clerk, Nancy Easton. All right. Any other questions or comments or the discussion? This line.
You're the one here, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but okay. I know it pertains to several of the couple other elected position departments.
Okay.
Obviously, you said it's none that's coming out of general fund. If it were to happen, how would these be funded if those funds went away or went into the negative?
What I can tell you is I know there's a statute, so my court people are being paid out of cost recorder's fund. And I know that there's a statute that says they shall be paid, I believe, out of County General. So it would just be getting another County General budget to cover my court people.
So if there was a decrease in this fund, it would have to come out of general fund at some point?
I would have to switch some employees, yes.
But just for clarification, this ordinance is just affecting your department?
Yes.
And Judge, if I may.
Just Kendrick?
Just typically what we've seen from that fund, it's typically got a fairly large excess that's bailed out. I say bailed out, but it often gives to County General, and it's there's never been an issue with that. I'll just brag on Miss Easton and her staff, but everybody I interact with that deals with the circuit clerk's office and just whether it be the general public to, you know, the legal professionals, everybody brags and they do a great job, so I appreciate what they do.
And to piggyback on that, just Kendrick, basically $1 million is in that fund, and then the excess of that is what goes on to County General, so that's a pretty big cushion.
Yes, yep.
Ms. Easton, I don't remember, you may remember the day, but several years ago, your office came to us and actually switched the funding for salaries from County General to that cost recorder's fund, right?
Right. I believe that was in 22, no, 21. Okay. No, wait. 21 or 22. I don't know.
Good. Good comments. Anything further? Just like?
The court doesn't mind making one more comment.
No, I appreciate that. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was just curious on it. It sounds like it's obviously, I mean, I've worked with you before when I was at the city of Conway and everything's great. The other thing is more semantics. So this is on your organizational chart you sent us, this is for a real estate manager, but it's classified as a deputy clerk 3. Is that kind of the, just so it's more of a semantics on title?
Yes.
Thank
you. Judge. Just to sign to what you're talking about with the funds, you know, when we come around budget time, we keep an eye on the funds and how much is anticipated revenue and how much we anticipate leaving those funds. And if we do see a negative trend, you know, or a downturn, we'll start to adjust accordingly to fund items from other places. Ms. Easton has a number of IT-related items in her office that, for example, we could turn that over into the County General IT Fund, kind of stuff like that.
One question. For the sake of conversation, can you inform the court as to how that fund is supported?
Oh, yes. So we record all deeds, mortgages, liens. So it's funded through all of the felonies for real estate documents.
By statute, right? Any other questions from Circuit Clerk? All right, seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Ray? Kendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Boss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Strange?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
All right, motion carries, the ordinance passes. Congratulations, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. This is next on the agenda. We have tab number 4, and that is proposed ordinance 24-25, and that is also sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee.
Judge, I make a motion for the passage of proposed ordinance 24-25.
Second.
And who was the second? Ms. Lyon. Motion, Justice Mahosky. Ms. Lyon with the second. Do we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 24-25, sponsored by Personnel and Budget Finance, being enacted by the Corman Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 23-36, dated November 21st, 2023, and to declare an emergency. And just as a cleanup, I think Justice Lyon's issue with the previous ordinance applies to this as well. Well, meaning the dates. If you'd like to make a motion to amend the dates.
That's okay.
Yes.
So it's a court judge, a counselor, again, amend the date, update, correct the dates to read July 27th effective for the payroll, and then July 16th for the core courts, and the July on the bottom of Judge Dotson and court order.
Second. All right, so Justice Lyon with the motion to amend to correct the dates, and Justice Kendrick with the second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of making those changes, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the changes are made to the proposed ordinance in front of you, and so we're back to the original ordinance on the substance. So we've got a motion to second. Justice Lahosky.
Judge, the same story applies to this one as applies to Ms. Easton's ordinance. It was passed out of personnel, tabled in budget and finance, brought back off the table in budget and finance to sit before you tonight. Thank you.
All right, very good. Any further explanation by anyone? Is this the kind of words?
I have a question for budget and finance, Chairman. We've been getting quite a few raises the last couple of years, pretty big ones, and I guess we kind of depend on the Budget and Finance Committee to tell us if we can actually afford that. Comments?
Sam, I almost want to say no, but I won't. but I I'll say no. It's difficult, I think, in this environment. Like I said, we've given, I think last year we gave a 6% increase. I don't remember what it was the year before that, maybe 4% COLA increase, in addition to all the catching up that we did with the one-time pay increases and stuff like that. There was a bit of conversation, and I'll say that I'm the one who started it in our Budget and Finance Committee around solidifying a pay grade plan so that some of these positions can be put into pay grades, so we know, so we can match up their responsibilities with that, and to have equity through the county as a whole when it comes to, and a deputy clerk one is making the same over here as they are over there, as they are over there, as they are over there. So you don't have to leave the clerk's office doing a clerk's job, the circuit clerk's office, to go work at the county clerk's office just because they pay more at the county clerk's office, or whatever the situation. It could be a treasurer, the collector, or whatever. That was kind of my argument, and my motion to table fell after that, after we, in that Budget and Finance Committee. I believe getting on some sort of pay grade salary schedule would let us know, and we wouldn't have to make decisions like this all the time, only when there was some sort of reorganization within, like in the road shop, like with Ms. Eastman's office, you know, where you're having a supervisor or a manager over multiple people. With this one right now, I can't say yes or no, you know, like for certain we can't afford it, because I haven't looked at the numbers with the whole picture of everything. Does that answer your question?
Sadly, yes. So maybe you could tell our people in the court what would, if we do end up, we give a lot of these raises again this year like we did the last couple of years, and we find that we're not bringing in the revenue that we expect, what are we going to do?
They got to cut back revenue. We got to cut back. So we were... back at the treasurer's report, you know, Judge Dodson pointed out one of the graphs with our, and with this ordinance specifically, we're talking about county general revenue for the most part. So back in the treasurer's report, we looked at a graph that showed county general revenue, basically, and we talked about this. All right, so when we look at 2024, for the first 3 months, we were above our 2023 revenue in county general. For May, we were a little bit under. For June, we were on target. You know, if that continues to trend either in line with 2023 county general revenue or lower than, then we'll have to make some adjustments. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to putting the budget together, it's got to balance, you know. And not only do we like it to balance, we like it to put an extra $1 million back, and we like to be conservative in what we have sitting in the bank when the day is done. So, we'll get down to some hard math whenever it comes budget time on what these new raises are going to look like folded into the 2025 budget.
So let me understand right now, you're recommending passage of this ordinance.
I don't know if I have a specific opinion on the passage of the ordinance. It did pass out of my committee, though.
Yeah.
It did pass out of my committee, but I can't say that I have a specific recommendation for you on this vote. That makes sense.
For the court,
yes.
Thank you.
I would call the court's attention to the county clerk's chief deputy, Tammy Lennings, at the microphone.
Margaret asked me to come tonight because she is out of town at a meeting, and so if you have questions for me, then I'll try to answer them for you. I'm Margaret's chief deputy. I've been at the county clerk's office for 23 years, and I do the payroll. I'm the payroll clerk.
Thank you for your service, ma'am. Is this a supervisory position?
What the problem is, as we grow and as the county grows and as we have more employees, our accounts payable department, which includes all the bills that we pay for the county as well as the payroll, continues to grow. We have myself as the payroll clerk and Teresa Bonds as the accounts payable clerk. but there is a great need for backup in those positions. And so in these two positions that she's asking for an increase, in addition to the duties that they already do, they have to be available to back up the accounts payable and the payroll. Now, those are software programs. There is a lot of detail to them. There's a lot of things that have to be done. And so they have to be trained and available to do those things in case, like a month or so ago, I ended up in the hospital for a few days. You can't just pull somebody in and have them to do that job if they're not trained to do it. And there's some specialized skill in it. So yes, I think that it is definitely warranted from my perspective, because I know these two employees, I know what they do, I know what they bring to the table, and they're both very diligent, they work very hard, they're very committed to their jobs, and they've both been with the county, I think one of them 7 years, one of them 8 years. One of the employees, who is the backup to the payroll, came from the collector's office, but she is currently learning the payroll. And at some point, I plan to retire. So, there will be a need to take over my position. You know, at that point, there needs to be someone trained.
But just to clarify, do they supervise any employees, or are they manager of any employees?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Just coach.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a little bit confused because
okay.
It's been a little while since I've spoken with Margaret. But can you explain to me, are these the employees that have started doing all of the passports and all of that stuff?
They also do that as well. Yes, both of these employees are passport agents. I'm sorry?
And then also explain the funding that comes from the passports and how
so we do receive money from every passport that we do. We get a $35 fee, and we get to keep that money in the county clerk's office. So both of these employees are passport agents, which means that they are trained to issue passports, and they help bring that revenue into the county clerk's office. They also, both of them issue marriage license. They do other things. One of them is involved with our voter registration. The other one is involved with payroll. On a daily basis. And then if one of us is absent, or, you know, like I said, they have to be trained. They have to do, they have to work in the accounts payable and in the payroll on a daily basis, a weekly basis, so that they would be able to step in and do that should one of us be out.
Ms. Swain.
Thank you for coming tonight. This kind of gets to what Justin Lahowski was talking about on a salary and pay grades. What is the structure in the clerk's office? Obviously, Margaret's head is the head, and then your chief deputy. Do you have a deputy clerk 1, 2, 3, or is it just deputy clerks?
We do not. I say that, I'm not exactly positive, but we have I'm the chief deputy / payroll and all the other things that I do. I'm basically, if Margaret's not there, then I'm in charge, you know, like all the other chief deputies. Teresa is the accounts payable. That's her primary duty besides, now she does other things, but that's her primary duty. Ruby Walls is our primary probate clerk. She also does passports and marriage license and works in the front office, answers the phone. Allison Miller, she is a passport clerk. Probably the passports, she's the first line to the passports. I am the passport manager, actually, but I don't actually issue them, but I oversee the others that do. But then Allison is my first, you know, she is my first go-to when I need something done.
It's pretty horizontal chain of command, essentially. Margaret, yourself, and then it's essentially just...
Well, some of them have been there longer, and some of them have more responsibilities. Carol Walters is our voter registration slash elections. Carol's been there a long time, or she's been with the county a long time. We have Teresa, Ruby, and Carol that make the same salary.
Ms. Lemmings, we probably need to not use names.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. We have three clerks that are at the same salary. Our accounts payable, probate, and election clerks. And then we have I believe the other three clerks are at the same rate, but lower than.
If you don't mind, I think what I'm getting at is kind of similar to what Justice Coates was asking as far as who's over who. I know I've been in government for over 20 years, and I mean, you end up taking on a lot of different tasks until there's a movement like what the roads department have the foreman, and then they created the manager position. I think that's kind of what Justice Coates is getting at. And I don't want to speak for just the House, but similar. And that's kind of what I'm looking at is with Clark Easton here, she had a management position there that showed on the resist chart. That's something I'd be looking for is we're giving them a similar salary to what we just get out for a management, more of a management position, and just trying to see that, I guess, in a reversal chart.
I would say that I believe that Margaret presented a salary survey to y'all, and with the description of what these two clerks do and her reasons for moving them to a higher salary. Maybe not a management over another employee, but the responsibility to take on accounts payable and payroll, I would say, is a big responsibility.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms.
Williams. I appreciate you coming and appreciate you standing up here taking this barrage of questions. I just want to say before we vote that I appreciate the service of you, your staff, these ladies that you're trying to get raises for and stuff. I'm going to tell you, I can't vote for this tonight because it's not a supervisor position. We've given several raises over the years and recent years, and I know from what we've heard in here in committee meetings and in court meetings that just Kendrick is working with, I believe it's kind of Mr. Higgins, on a plan to bring salaries to a level that we can all deal with. Nothing against your employees, I want them to know that, but I can't support this tonight just because we've raised several salaries. I think some people will look at that like that and think about that, but in all of those recent raises that we've given to this level, those have been managers of other personnel, and that's the reason I can't vote for this tonight. But thank you.
Ms. Coates?
I'm so sorry to keep asking questions. I just want to make sure that I'm clear and that I understand everything. So it's not necessarily a managerial position. They're not supervising other employees, but they've taken on additional roles. And so, like, when we discussed the passport thing is one, I've seen myself when I've been in there multiple times, the passport office is usually always busy. And I know those fees from those are continuing to increase as the time goes on. And Margaret was explaining to me that this funding cannot come out of those passport fees, but other departments or other parts of the office can. Does that make sense?
Yes, that is correct.
So it's kind of,
that is correct. So that will go, yes, I believe it goes into our cost fund, and she's able to. Now, one of these employees does get paid half from our cost fund. So that's another thing. I think it would be, I don't have the ordinance before me, but
I think it's two get paid half.
Well, currently currently one of our employees gets paid half out of voter registration elections. And then one of our employees gets paid half out of the cost fund. And the one that she's asking for an increase, one of these positions gets paid half of their salary from our cost fund, which the passport money goes to.
Thank you.
Further questions, comments, discussion? I see folks looking at the ordinance. All right, seeing none. Roll call vote, please.
Allison?
No.
Coates?
Yes.
Hendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lawson?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Strange?
No.
Tyler?
Yes. All right, so the motion carries, the ordinance passes. Thank you, Tammy, again, for standing in. I don't know if you signed up for that.
That's okay.
We do thank you for your service. And I do appreciate, I think you saw honest takes, even on, you know, the folks that maybe didn't vote for that. I don't think that makes them bad justice. I think they gave the reasons why very clearly. So. But thank you for that due diligence. Moving right along, tab number 5, proposed ordinance 24-30. And this is, I'll hesitate to call this cleanup ordinance, even though Margaret's not here. 24-30, tab number 5.
Justice,
I'm assuming this is a budget finance sponsor.
Yes, Judge, I'll make a motion for the passage of ordinance 24-30.
Second.
Justice Mahosky, Justice Jones. All right, reading, please.
Proposed ordinance 24-30, sponsored by Budget Finance, being next by Corn Court, County of Fulton, State of Arkansas. The ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Fulton County Ordinance 23-36, dated November 21st, 2023, and to declare an emergency.
All right, members. Do we have a brief explanation of this, Justice Mahosky?
Yes, Judge. Just as most of this is how you say it, but
I believe there's a summary page right in front of it if it helps.
There you go. Like Judge says, kind of a cleanup. I did have a question in Budget and Finance about Section 6 about the about that $100,000. That's money we've already appropriated into that fund, into that department. It's just basically moving from one line item to another to pay for the things that need to be done here. Here at the for the courthouse, and then someone to the judge's office could speak to Section 4 if y'all have any questions on that.
Mr. Higgins,
I just want to comment on the $100,000. That's the really the first installment on the courthouse million, and so instead of just nickel diamond in the court, I went ahead and asked for the first $100,000. We'll use part of that to pay the first installment to the architect for the work that they'll do. Also, we have a few repairs that we're already going to start that's not part of the project, some air conditioning repair and stuff, we'll pay for that. So that's what that is, the first installment of that money.
Further questions? Mr. Higgins?
I'm sure it's probably a normal expense. I think as just Lahowski mentioned, Section 4, that's a pretty large amount, but I assume that's just kind of standard practice. $1.5
million. All right, Road and ARP Administrator Tom Anderson.
Yes, sir. We had that. We had money set aside in that line item in anticipation of the stoplight. That looks like that's probably not going to be happening this year because we'd have to bid it out and get started. So it'll probably be next year. But we're using this money to move into asphalt because of the availability that we see we're going to have with Rogers Group. We're anticipating more availability.
Further questions? All right, seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Hendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lawson?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Strange?
Yes.
Adams.
Yes.
All right, so motion carries. The ordinance passes. Next on our agenda, appointments. We have no appointments this month to report as a standing agenda item. Any other announcements?
Yes. I just got one announcement. St. Joseph will be hosting their annual bazaar in Midway on August 2nd and 3rd. If you've never been to that, I'd check it out. It's a fun experience when you can see the Midway and play all the games and all that kind of stuff, and it goes to help out the school. Thank you, Judge.
Very good. It's very fun. Lots going on there. I look forward to that. And that is what date again?
August 2nd and 3rd.
Wow, that's coming up.
Yes.
Thank you. And Cammie Marsh, she is going to talk all things extension.
I have to turn it on.
It's good. On.
Okay, good. So usually you get to see Mary Beth. She is home with her baby, so he's here. We're so excited Matthew Taylor's here. But she wanted me to remind you, August 16th is the extension tour. So she said, make sure you tell the quorum court members, please have that on their agenda. So as she's been sending you stuff out for that, but since she won't be here, she was like, can you remind them? So thank you again. The construction is going fabulously, Randy. And so I gave you all of your fish fry stuff. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kimmy. All right, any other announcements? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. We're adjourned.